So this morning, this afternoon rather, we're looking at teaching along the leading of the Spirit. Along that line, the leading of the Spirit. But we'll major much more on the inward witness. We'll talk about the leading of the Spirit, but we'll major much more on inward witness. So it will take us some other 2-3 weeks from now to be able to round it off. Or 2-3 weeks of weekly teachings to round off the topic. If they can open the borders. they don't open up. Verses 18 into 20. He said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." End of the age. Now he says, go make disciples. So when he says, make disciples, that word material, which we'll let us see again, what I'm saying now, we'll let us see it again when we begin to discuss the church and the local church. We discover that when he said, go make disciples, when that word is used, material. When that word is used, in the background, what you would have would be a gathering. A gathering is intended. Do you understand? A gathering is intended. A local church is intended. Hallelujah. A local church is intended to raise disciples, to raise pupils. So, the role of the local church today is to raise disciples. So we said the local church, a school is intended, a local church is intended. Do you understand? Because of that word material, that shows how students are raised, pupils are raised. Hallelujah, how pupils are raised. So Jesus told us the role of the local church, which is to what? Raise disciples. In verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. So he also tells us that how disciples should be raised is via teaching. It's via teaching. Disciples is raised via teaching. So in discipleship, Jesus tells us how it will be carried out and what the content, the curriculum would be. Tells us how it will be carried out via teaching, and now tells us what the curriculum will be. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. So there's a clear cut distinction or a clear cut on what the curriculum of the local church should be. So the curriculum of the local church should be what? Concerning Christ teachings, not business seminars. It's not the job of the local church to organize business seminars. It's not the job of the local church to organize clinics, you know. No, it's not the job of the local church. The job of the local church is centered on what Christ teaches. You know, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. So when he says teaching them to observe what I've commanded you. So the question will now be, what has he commanded them? Do you understand? Let's cast our mind again on, or let's take our mind back here to Matthew 28, verse 18. You know, this will be, we said this in one of our teachings, that Matthew 28, but from verse 19, from verse 16 into 20 will be a summary of what Jesus taught them for 40 years, right? That will be a summary. So, because that will be Matthew's summary, because Luke shows us in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 that he taught them for 40 days. So what he thought there would not be, he'll just come and tell them every day, all authority has been given unto me, go therefore. No, that was not what he did for 40 days. But this will be Luke's summary of the instructions he gave. Do you understand me? Within those 40 days. Do you understand? So Luke will summarize it as, go make disciples. Do you understand? Go make disciples. Mark's account in Mark chapter 16. Let's look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 14. Look at what Mark says. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. And the version will say he upbraided them, right? He upbraided their unbelief because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15, and he said to them, go therefore. Do you understand me? Go therefore and make disciples. So when he said he rebuked them for their unbelief, will be what he did within 40 days. That will be the teaching. Do you understand me? So it's in that teaching that they received that rebuke. That is why that is why Luke will say he taught them for 40 days. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. So, very important. So, Mark shows us that in teaching them, he upbraided them for their unbelief. He rebuked them for their unbelief via teaching. Do you understand me? And then he gave the instructions. That will go to now find from verses 15. Go therefore and make disciples. The same thing with this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, will be similar to what Matthew will give to you. When he says, go make disciples. Do you understand me? Of all nations. Okay, let's go ahead. Look in Luke 24. Let's look at Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. That was when he came to the 11. Look at what he said to them. He says, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. That is the teachings. Do you understand me? But Luke will summarize it this way. Are you listening to me? So, furthermore, if you read further, he now did what? Gave instructions. Do you understand? Hallelujah. He now gave instructions. From verse 47, he gave instructions. So, very important. So, from that Luke 24:44, Luke shows us that the things he spoke to them about were things he had been telling them before he resurrected. So these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. You understand me? So Luke gives us the clue that what he taught them for 40 days was things that he has been talking about. He has been teaching them while he was yet alive. Hallelujah. But this time, he will explain the scriptures from the resurrection. You understand? Hallelujah. He will explain the scriptures from his resurrection. Remember, I told them there are several things that I want to say to you, but I couldn't. Because you are not able to bear them. That would be John 16. Do you understand? You're not able to bear them. Hallelujah. So, those explanations, he will now explain scriptures on his resurrection. Hallelujah. So, the resurrection was what he taught them in the 40 days. He taught them concerning the resurrection for 40 days. Or he taught them the scriptures from the resurrection for 40 days. So what he taught them would be concerning the resurrection. And in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, look at Acts 1. I might a bit fast. Okay. In Acts 1, these are things that we should know. Oh, we are knowing, we are learning every day. Glory to God. Acts 1 verse 3. What's up with verse 1? The former account I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So Luke also in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 3 will call that resurrection that he taught them for 40 days things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Did you see that? Remember, we just said that what he taught them for 40 days was concerning the resurrection, right? So Luke further showed us that the resurrection is pertaining the kingdom of God. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we say the kingdom of God will be the resurrection. Right? We can conclude like that and say the kingdom of God will be the resurrection. It's a topic I hope we'll be able to treat next year or late this year. The kingdom of God. But we'll start treating it from our CRC, Believer's Authority. So it will flow into next year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that implies when he says, remember, we just said now that when Luke or when Jesus is talking about, I mean, Luke made us see that when Jesus is talking about the resurrection, is concerning the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so we can now read that back to Matthew 6. Let's read that back to Matthew 6. From Jesus' explanation of the same event. Verse 9. In this same manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Say, Your kingdom come. He says, Your kingdom come. Say, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Say, give us that. When he said on earth as it is in heaven, it implies in men, right? He doesn't say, give us this day our daily bread. He said, and forgive our debt as we forgive our debtors. So we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, glory forever. Hallelujah. So when Matthew says, I mean, when Jesus says in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, will be concerning the resurrection. That's why he now says, give us this day the daily bread. Right? It's concerning what the kingdom, the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says the kingdom come will be concerning the resurrection, also in Matthew 16, speaking of the same event, Matthew 16, let's just read from verse 16 into 19. Simon Peter answered and said to him, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He asked, Who do men say I am? And then verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. So when it talks about the key of the kingdom, will it still be concerning the resurrection? It will still be concerning the resurrection, because it just discussed what the church, right, to be concerning the resurrection. So at the resurrection we have access. Hallelujah. So that word for key is the word for access. Hallelujah. Also too, we are reading back, right? In John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom, right? Except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. The same thing he's talking about. We also be concerning the resurrection, right? Hallelujah. So we can say in the resurrection, we received the kingdom. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection will receive the kingdom. In the resurrection, we'll receive the kingdom. I'm from John 14. John 14. From verses 2 is long reading, but from verse, okay, let's just see from verse 16. Jesus talking about the same event again. The same event. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, there's something to really observe. As Jesus' explanation of that same event of the resurrection becomes clearer as he moves closer to his death.
Yeah.
Do you understand? You read all the accounts as it's getting closer. For the Shegu will call it the high point. Do you understand me? As it's getting closer to the high point, which is getting closer to the cross, it becomes clearer. You know, it was at this point that the disciples now say, he speaketh not to us again in parables. Do you understand? Even if they didn't still understand. Because they needed the resurrection to understand. Do you understand? But it gets clearer. Hallelujah. It gets clearer. Hallelujah. Now, verse 16. Look at what it says. And I will go to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now, because it says the Spirit of truth. Right? Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. I will come to you. Say, a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Right? He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, that was Judas Iscariot. I mean, that is Judas, not the one that is Iscariot. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said to him, he asked a question. He asked the question, okay, let's just look at verse 2. He said, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. So when Jesus talked about the manifesting himself to them, he was talking about the indwelling. Do you understand? We'll manifest ourselves to him. So now what Jesus has just done, and he has just showed us that the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost is the indwelling of the Father and the Son, right? And that is the Father, the union of the Father and the Son in man. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, very important. So, from the resurrection, what we would receive is the indwelling. Hallelujah. So, that indwelling is the kingdom of God. Right? Right? Jesus also made us know that in Luke, he said the kingdom of God is with men. Hallelujah. So, the kingdom of God is in man. We can read it that way. The kingdom of God is in man. Right? And that is because of the indwelling. Right? Right, the kingdom of God is the indwelling, and we say that indwelling is where the indwelling is where the believer's authority, right? So the kingdom of God is what? The believer's authority, right? The believer's authority is in the indwelling, and that is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore we can say, for 40 days, Jesus taught them from the scriptures concerning the indwelling. Can we say that? Right? So that was why, when they saw him go into the sky, you know, many people, when he's beginning to teach them that Jesus never left the earth, they felt that they would quickly go and show you that, let's go to Luke, right? I mean, to Acts. Say, and he was taken up into the skies. Do you understand? They would say, what about that? Do you understand me? But something you will not lose eye, you will not lose sight of is Luke 24. Look at that Luke 24 very well. There's something that looks a bit, you can easily lose it. Do you understand me? Now let's see. Look at Luke 24:52. Okay, verse 51. He said, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. Watch this. Take note of it, because we'll look at it just soon, in a few seconds. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. The first time he left their side, they were sorrowful. Now, I doubt he had left them again, they should be sorrowful. No, they returned with great joy. Why? Because he had taught them 40 days. I believe while he was teaching them 40 days, he was with them. And teaching them for those 40 days, he would have been telling them, as I speak to you, I'm in you. Do you understand? Do you understand me? It will be part of what he's teaching them. That as I'm teaching you like this, the scripture, I am in you. That will be part of what he's teaching them. Because the moment he went off their sight, they don't need anybody to tell them he's in the sky. They knew that he was already in them. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit would dwell in them the moment they believed. And they believed in the course of that teaching. Hallelujah. So that means, as they believed, he would have told them that as you have believed, I am in you. Though he was talking to them. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So when he said, when he now said to them, I mean, when Luke will now put and was carried up into the heaven, would that be a figure of speech? It sure would be a figure of speech. So that means Acts of Apostles chapter 1-2 will be a figure of speech. Do you understand me? It will be a figure of speech. When he said carried up into heaven, would that be a figure of speech to mean that where he will be found will be what? In heaven. Are you hearing me? So, you know, when Luke will write and say he was carried up into heaven, remember, when they wrote, these people that, I mean, I'm using that word. When the writers of the four gospels wrote the four gospels, they didn't write the four gospels immediately this event took place. They wrote the four gospels years after it has taken place. You understand me? Years after it has taken place. Now, Luke is a student of who? The student of Paul. You understand me? So when Luke writes heaven, they know what heaven really means. They will not be referring to skies. No. You understand? So when he now puts heaven here, an intelligent Bible student will not be looking at the sky. So if you look at the sky, how far is the heaven from the sky? You understand me? So you can't call the sky and call it heaven. The sky is used as heaven for what? Figure of speech. You understand me? So when you say heaven, I look up to the sky, then you are, do you understand me? Do you understand? I've not been in the plane, I always say this, I've not been in the plane before, but I heard those of you that are, those that have been in the plane, that their height,
You have been in the plane.
No, I've not.
You have not?
I've not. So, I have heard that their height you go to, and you begin to see the clouds beneath, right? I'm proud of it, I've not been in the plane. You get to see the clouds beneath. So how far is the sky from the heaven? So that now becomes a problem for people. Hallelujah. Because the heaven is talking about refers to what the place, I mean, of a spiritual location. So when he said it was taken up into the heaven, means it can only be found what? In the spirit. That is what that is what Luke is writing about. That Christ can only be seen in the spirit. That's what he wants you to see, not the heaven you are seeing. He wants you to see that Christ, he will only be found in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember I told you, when you get to Acts 1, be careful of what you hear the angels say. We'll get to deal with that when we discuss angelic ministry. So we'll get to be careful of what the angels, what we hear angels say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's move ahead. So for Matthew's account, go back to Matthew. For Matthew's account, this reality of the indwelling will be what the disciples will be taught. That's what Matthew said. That is what we get from Matthew's account, this reality of the fact that what Christ will be found in the Spirit. And do you understand? Christ will be found in the Spirit. This reality of the fact that what he dwells in us, he has not left the earth, will be what the disciples will be taught. That Christ dwells in the believer. The disciple will be taught that Christ dwells in the believer, never to lose sight of it. You know, when he says, teaching them to observe So you don't lose sight of it. Never lose sight. Don't lose sight of it in your songs. Don't lose sight of it in your communication. Don't lose sight of it. Don't even give room. Do you understand? Don't even allow it to be part of your figure of speech. Don't lose sight of it that Christ dwells in the believer. Don't lose sight of it that he never left the earth. So, automatically, you will not sing songs like, he's coming back again, my God is coming. No, don't lose sight of it in your song. You understand me? Don't lose sight of it in your song. Don't even joke around it. Do you understand? Don't joke around it. There's some things we don't joke with. So just like we don't joke with sickness. Do you understand me? We don't joke around miracles. No, we don't joke around that. I don't listen to those kind of jokes anymore. You understand me? Don't listen to those kind of jokes. No, don't. Do you understand me? Don't listen to jokes that make a mockery of your Christian faith. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. Glory to God. So, the believer is taught not to lose sight of this, that Christ dwells in us. You know, you can just say it to yourself as often as you can. Do you understand me? Christ dwells in me. Christ dwells in me. Hallelujah. Christ dwells in me. He dwells in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see what this indwelling implies. We'll run through this. We'll run through this. In John 3, verses 3 to 8, Nicodemus came to him and he said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can one be born when he is old? Can he enter back into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but can't tell where it cometh nor where it goeth. It says, so is he that is born of the Spirit. So the indwelling implies that we are born of the Spirit. Or the name. Hallelujah. We are born of the Spirit. Romans 8:14 shows us that we are led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit. That word to be led means to be born. To be led, to be brought forth. We are brought forth by the Spirit. The same thing too with Galatians 5:18. We are brought forth by the Spirit. Look at Galatians 3. It says we have begun in the Spirit. And that indwelling means we have begun in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 14:2. From John 14:2, verse 2 to 23. We went from 16 to 23. The summary of it is that we are the Father's house. Hallelujah. Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. See, if we were not so, I wouldn't have told I go prepare a place for you. We're in the Father's house. And what is that place? He said, we will come and make our abode in you. So the indwelling is the indwelling implies that we are the Father's house. He carries out his tax in us. Hallelujah. Galatians, 1 Corinthians 3:16. As believers, our bodies are the temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians verse 11, the indwelling implies that we are washed, we are justified and sanctified. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 6:11. It says, and such were some of you, for you are washed, you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:9. This is You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the spirit of God dwells in you. So the indwelling means we are in the spirit. We are in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:2, from verse 12 into 13. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Right? So we started. I'm quoting verse 10 to 11. For I have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God. Say which thing we speak, not in the world of man's wisdom teaching, but what the Holy Ghost teaching. You see, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So we are spiritual. God of the indwelling, we are spiritual. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 1. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Yes, and so we are spiritual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as spiritual men, the things of the spirit are things of our spirit. So we must pay the more attention to the things of the spirit. Do you get that? As spiritual men, as spiritual men, we must pay the more attention to the things, to spiritual things. And the more we are around spiritual activities, the more we are sharpened and trained in them. The more we are around spiritual activities, the more we are sharpened and trained in them. We don't lose sight of spiritual activities. Hallelujah. 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 In John 8 verse 12, Jesus is still speaking about this same reality of the resurrection. You know, it's the resurrection we're discussing about. The reality of the resurrection, the reality of the indwelling. In John 8 verse 12, he says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But have the light of life. Jesus is speaking about the reality, the indwelling, and he says, we have the light. No, we can read it as that now. Right? We can read it that way. We have the light of life. We're going to see that shortly. We have it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the light of life. I have the light of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, the word light there is the word phos. Phos. A word in the Greek etymology used for a bright light that gives direction. Used for a very bright light. Very bright light that gives direction. It's different for I'm forgetting this word now. It's not oculus. Another word. No. It's the word nutrients. That is another Greek word. But it's used for a tweet light. This morning, like how do you call it? Twilight light. How do you call it?
Twilight.
So it's morning light. It's different from that.
Dawn.
It's different. No, it's not. It's not moonlight. Is it? I was in that study before I read this one. I was in that study all of them. No, the word for false is used for a bright shining light. So I was actually doing a study on Greek etymology on that word false, and it used, there's another word, just how it L-U-K-E something. Now it's, that word is used for, is also, is a bit similar, but they are different, that it can be differentiated. Do you understand me? The difference is the fact that that one is like more or less not really necessarily a day dawn, but a tweet light. I'm trying to T-W-I-L-I-G. That's the pronunciation, right?
Twilight.
So it's different from that. This is a bright light for direction, just like you have a floodlight. Do you understand me? Clear direction. Hallelujah. So Jesus uses that word. A wording that John will use in 1 John 5 verse 7. 1 John 1 verse 5, sorry. 1 John 1 5. I'll still do that study again, and then I'll still check out those words again. Maybe next week I would correct myself very well or use it very well. But I actually didn't do the study for this sermon, so that's why I'm a bit skipping it. Okay, 1 John 1:5. Look at what John says. Mind John says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. That is the word, folks. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you know that there is no, you know, I love the way John put it, there is no darkness at all. Like, you know, you know, yeah, we can say there's light there, but you know, there's darkness there. You understand? So, but you see, in him is light, there's no darkness at all. I don't even understand. There's no shadow at all, there's no darkness at all. I love the way John puts it. Hallelujah. There's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, he's talking to men and he's preaching to men who are not saved yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Speaking to men who are not saved and is convincing them with the gospel. Hallelujah. So he tells them, like a bit, he tells them, hey, we are in the light. Do you understand me? We have fellowship one with another. Hallelujah. Tells them God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Then he goes to verse 7 and tells them, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So John uses it for God to say God is light. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter is just before John, 1 John. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Did you see the should I call it a bit that John was giving them? Would I use that as a bit? OG? Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, this will be the ministration of John to them. John said, we'll have fellowship in the light. Right? Right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in John's invitation to them, or in John's message to them, it's the same to what Peter is saying. He said he has called us into what his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's used for where the believer has been called into. Paul also said the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter. In Colossians 1:12-13. Colossians 1:12-13. He said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Right? Of the saints. Verse 13. He said, in the light he has delivered us from darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the light. So we are in the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the same word. Light. Light. Hallelujah. In 1 John 2, 8. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John 2, 8. No, we have been... We see that we are in the light, right? Now, 1 John now says something concerning us believers. 1 John 2, 8. Look at what John says. He said, I like the way John writes. You know, his synoptic gospel is just like an epistle. He says, again, a new commandment I write to you, right? Are we there? Which things is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Now he says, we are in the light. Hallelujah. That's what he says. We are in the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we can say to be indwelled by the Holy Ghost, which is the new birth, is to receive direction. Right? Is to receive direction. So this is the reason why we can say we are well directed. We don't lack direction at all. The Spirit of God is that leading. You know what I mean? The indwelling is that leading. The indwelling is the leading. So what is important is knowing and following the leading of the Spirit. What is important is knowing, because we are well directed, right? We are well led, right? The believer, never say a believer is not well led. You are speaking, how do they use that word? What is it? I'm trying to remember the Greek word. You are speaking amiss. Do you understand me? The believer is well directed. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Once a man is born again, he is well directed. He's well led. Do you understand? So you cannot be talking to a believer. So that will also form your correction. You cannot be, you know, even when Paul was to deal with the church at Corinth, I said after this teaching, those pastors that will still be in Lagos will continue and will kind of, I just know that we will not be able to look at the issues with Corinth again this year. We'll stick in how many months out of the year and we'll have a lot of teachings to do. But with pastors, we're going to look at the issue with Corinth from a perspective as regards correcting. Do you understand? As regards how to correct an erring brethren. Do you understand? Now, the fact that a brother or a sister is erring does not mean he's no longer washed. Does not mean he's no longer justified. Do you understand? So, even when it comes to how we correct ourselves, we must understand the fact that salvation facts are eternal. Do you understand me? Are eternal. Do you understand me? Are eternal. Do you understand? The fact that a brother or a sister is erring does not mean that you cannot say Christ does no longer die for you or did not die for you. No. Do you understand me? He's still washed. Look at what John, look at what Paul told the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6:11. He said, you were justified. You were washed. He brings that to them again. You were washed. You were justified. You were sanctified. Hallelujah. Because this is eternal. Do you understand me? It's eternal. So for you to now talk to a brother and now say, you see, you don't have the leading of the Spirit. you can't say that. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Because for you to say you don't have the leading of the Spirit is for you to say the brother or that person does not have the Spirit of God in him. Because that Spirit of God we have is the leading of the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's the leading of God. Hallelujah. So that's why we can say the child of God, the believer, is well directed. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The believer is well led. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. So where we now have, where brethren, when we have folks or some people will not have issues, it will not be how to follow. First of all, how to know and follow the leading of the Spirit. And that is what we'll discuss all through within this period. How to know and how to follow Hallelujah. How to know, how to follow, how to know, how to follow. Glory to God. How to know, how to follow. Many a times believers make mistakes, take on things that they were not supposed to if they had listened to the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't mean that they are not well led. They are well led, but they didn't just obey. They didn't just follow. You understand? They just followed. They didn't just know how to recognize this is the leading of the Spirit. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. But to say we are not led is to tell a lie. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, topics like these are topics that we need to keep reminding ourselves again and again and again. Nobody's a master of the leading of the Spirit. No, nobody is. Nobody is a professor here. No. Hallelujah. We keep learning again. We keep learning again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. One thing to keep in mind as we proceed, one thing to keep in mind is that I must know I must honor how the Spirit leads me. We have to keep this in mind. I must honor how the Spirit leads me. I must honor it. So as you get to know how the Spirit leads us, I must learn to honor it. You understand? I must honor it. When I mean honor, I must value it. Hallelujah. I must value it. Value it well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Let's look at something. 2 Timothy 3:16. Start from verse 15. And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, right? Unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We'll get to look at this next week. But let's just start from here. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Theonistos means it is spirit inspired. Hallelujah. Scriptures are spirit inspired. And we know what we mean when we say scriptures are spirit inspired. Hallelujah. Are spirit inspired. So we could say the primary way, because the scriptures are spirit inspired. Okay. Scriptures are spirit inspired, right? Was that what I said? Yeah. Scriptures are written to explain God to us. Scriptures are written to explain God to us and show us how to live as believers. So scriptures primarily is God speaking to us concerning himself. Do you understand me? Get the message. Get YouTube. It's not dictation class. Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God. So scriptures are written to explain God to us. Hallelujah. So we can say the primary way we are led is by the written word. Spirit inspired. We are primarily led by the written word. So as believers, we are led by the written word. So studying the word, now I want us to get this. Studying the word will help me know the leading of the Spirit as regard even my daily affairs. Studying the word will help me know the leading of the Spirit even as regards my daily affairs. We are primarily led this way. We are primarily led this way. So, since I know this is how God leads me via the written word, primarily, I must honor the written word. I must honor it. And in honoring the written word, I have this written here, I must study it regularly. In honoring the written word, I must study it regularly. I must study it diligently. I must study it rightly and in context. I must study it diligently, study it regularly, diligently, rightly, and in context. To study scripture out of context is to dishonor it. Is to dishonor the written word. Lack of proper Bible interpretation. Can make a man or not can will make a man that's what I have here will make a man not to recognize God's leading. As I studied and wrote and got to this point, I felt like putting up something on social media, but I'll put it up as soon as we are done. You know, do you know how many people have read business into scriptures like just you have known the I mean from a child you've known the only scripture which are able to make thee wise. You've read a lot of things out of it. Say King shall come to your lights, men to the brightness of your rising. You will rise. Your wisdom, he said, you know, people that God will give you wisdom. 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 Insight into mysteries and secrets. Mysteries of jobs. Mysteries of business. C trade, S trade, E trade, O trade. Yeah, that's a secret. You know, many people, you do not automatically. You have automatically interpreted scriptures that way. You are not recognizing the leading of the Spirit. In fact, you've missed the leading. The leading is in Oshodi. You have entered boss. You have missed it. Do you understand? Then you begin to read scriptures another way. So, contextual Bible study is important. Even as regards the leading of the Spirit. Do you know someone will tell you, God is leading me to start up a business and he gave me a verse. Have you ever heard people say that? He gave me a verse. And now hear the verse. You shall be led out in peace. The mountains and the hills. And the Lord has given you a verse. A verse. For business. No, we'll get to look at the leading of the Spirit. And that's what we're looking at together. We'll look at it together. Yeah. While I was writing, I told myself, no rush. No rush. Because, and I have to keep myself under the same topic all around me. Because I learned that too. Hallelujah. Just listen to this. Because nobody's a master of it. No, nobody is. It's something we keep reminding ourselves of over and over and again. Over and over and again. Hallelujah. I've not heard people talk about, the Spirit of God is leading me to have a businessman fellowship. I've said that before in school. So I'm actually hitting myself. Businessman fellowship. And what is the verse? No, you know, sentimental people will now ask, what is the verse? What verse did the Lord give you? Say, my son, incline thy ears to my saying. They are life. Life means essence. The essence of your living. Calm down.
Instruction.
Calm down. Calm down. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So proper Bible interpretation. Proper Bible interpretation is important in the leading of the Spirit. In the leading. Hallelujah. In recognizing the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that have you not heard seminars like, what the title of the seminar? Woman, thou art loose. Financial liberation for women. Feminism. Yes, these days what is reigning is feminism now. Liberation of the women. And I say, the Lord is leading me that way. You know, we are one in Christ. There's no man, there's no woman in Christ. you are catching wrong grammar. The Lord is leading me to woman thou art loosed. A scripture used for someone that was healed of demons. He said, woman thou art loosed. And you now make title it that even God supports feminism. You are mad. Sorry to say. But it's madness. You lose the leading of the soul. Did I just say that? Hallelujah. But you will miss it. Hallelujah. You will miss the leading of the Spirit. You will miss it. Hallelujah. You will miss it. You will miss it. Hallelujah. You will. You will. So, proper Bible interpretation is important. In fact, proper Bible interpretation will tell in your utterance. We'll get to see that too as we progress. It will tell in your utterance. Because we also led via utterance. So we tell you your utterance. I mean, I hear somebody come and say, okay, Pastor Galba is a first-hand witness. Hallelujah. There's a bird. He's giving utterance. I hear something like a bird on top. He used to scratch. I don't know what the Spirit of God is saying concerning the bird. You are not well. You can't be well. And it's utterance. You can be well. Hallelujah. So you see, what is important is what the written word. Hallelujah. The written word. It will affect your utterance. You know, when you begin to understand scripture, where your dreams too will change. Your dreams will change. It will change your dreams. You stop some funny kind of dreams. So you now know scripture well. And I was dreaming they were coming from the left. They were coming from the right. They all had daggers. They wanted to hit me. But the hand of the Lord picked me. What is your study life like? Hallelujah. So you see, proper Bible interpretation is important. It will tell in, Jesus, it's not just telling your conversation. It will tell in things that it goes a whole long way in your Christian life. Hallelujah. So we can't rule out proper Bible interpretation from our Christian life. We can't. Hallelujah. So you must interpret scriptures rightly. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've heard somebody say, the reason why we say people should come and touch us with their money as the prophet is because even the widow, she brought her all, and she kept it to Jesus. I said, are you okay? so that is the root of come and drop your money on my feet, come and touch me with your 500 now. What those nonsense? So that's where you let that nonsense from. And I said, no, Jonathan, no, you are wrong. But that is, do you understand me? And they feel that is how God is leading them. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So people say, the Spirit of God is leading me to tell you. And you have to go and meet your pastor's mother. You know, just like John. I mean, just like Jesus. They have to talk. This is because you have wrongly interpreted Bible. It even affects what you think the Spirit of God is telling you. Do you understand? Hallelujah. I heard this. I'm trying to remember whether it's from Kenneth Hagin. I heard it from E.W. Kenyon's book, one of those 2 years back. He said, the Spirit of God will not lead you outside the written word. You should be Kenneth Hagin. To not lead you outside the written word. He said that most time when he has visions, and he has visions of the Lord Jesus coming to him and teaching him, I will always carry his Bible and present. Show me from the scriptures. Say he learned that. So even if you come and tell him, it will tell you, show me from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God will not lead you outside the written word. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the leading of the Spirit is not twisting of scriptures. No. It's proper Bible interpretation. I begin to close from here. Lack of systematic study of the scriptures. The lack of systematic study of the scripture is not the leading of the Spirit. You can't find the leading of the Spirit in such. You can't. You can know it, you can't recognize it in such. You can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we'll study more. Hallelujah. Proper interpretation of scriptures. Contextual study. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are well directed. We are well directed. Oh, we don't walk in darkness. We don't walk in darkness. We have the light of life. Oh, glory to God. Why not just speak in tongues? Just thank him. Mando, kongo, tiba, shana, mando, kura, bariyada. Dibidi, buddha,